Grzegorz Brzęczyszczykiewicz.
I think he's right. It does sound like an electrical shock. Yeah, pretty right. Before I say anything, I wanna thank whoever had the idea to invite the Mexican pastors up here. It's been a blessing just to hear the testimonies, to hear the preaching. Thank you, brothers, so much for coming up and preaching to us. Thank you for sharing your testimonies. For me personally, obviously, you all know I grew up in Mexico, and so it's a double blessing for me. And so I really hope that we can continue doing this. It's a great idea. I think everybody's been blessed by it, not only me. And so, oh man, this has been great. Well, anyways, I was here 2 years ago, and we said that Steve was going to be coming down to Łódź to work with us, and we asked for prayer. We asked that you guys pray for men, and we asked that you guys pray specifically for families. Well, 2 years later, Steve is down with us. He's alive. He's doing well. He sends his greetings. Steve is literally, he's come alive. Steve is Steve of old. Whenever he came down, he said, you know, this was the right place. This is the place that I was supposed to be in. And I mean, he's been such a blessing to me personally. He's been a blessing to the church there. He's been an edification. He's been a great testimony. And Poles are well known for being complainers. And you guys know it is super duper hard to complain when you're around Steve. And so, man, in our church, he's been such a blessing and such a prick in the side, you know, because here's this lady, she's complaining because it's a little bit warm, and Steve's in the middle of one of his seizures, his eyeballs are going in circle, and she has, hey, how you doing? And he's like, I'm doing great, praise the Lord. Oh, man, you know, and it is true what Brian said. Whenever he preaches, I kind of get animated myself. And he says, bam, I say, bomb. And I was really excited to see, you know, to hear that Billy was going to be preaching. Because I know the Mexican preachers are pretty animated. And I was somewhat hoping to see Billy get down and up and do all the bim, bam, wham. I don't know. I don't know which one of the Mexican brothers is preaching next. But please do some of this. That would be great to see. Yeah, so. Yeah. Several times it's been mentioned about the greatest generation, about the old ones, about the church, you know, just coming of age, gray hair, no hair, whatever. And I was thinking, well, you know, what about our generation, my generation? When Brian was in Poland, first of all, we had a great blast, a great blessing with Brian and Judy when he was there. But you know, we were talking about that, about the generational problems, and man, my generation, it's almost embarrassing. You know, when we think of the stories of what my dad, our dads did, what our grandparents did. But I was looking, and come to find out, we're Generation X. That's what, I don't know, anybody 20, 30, 30, 40 years old? We're Generation X. You know what that means, guys? Anything's possible. Anything, it's X is the unknown. That's literally what it means. It's the unknown. I mean, algebra, what is X? That's what we're trying to find out. So guys, think about that. Think about that. Who knows what we can do? Yeah. Who knows if we really make Jesus Christ our all, if we give Him our all, if we surrender everything we have, who knows right now, here and now, who knows what God can do? Man, I'm pretty excited about seeing the Lord move and seeing the Lord work. And we were talking before with Mike Pemberton, you know, the one problem with the Bible is that it does injustice to God's grace. It speaks marvelous of His grace, but it doesn't speak enough. I've seen it in my life. God is so gracious, and I'm looking for the words to express how gracious and how merciful He is. And I go to the book, and just like He said, all God says about Himself is, I am that I am. You know, you can't say it in words well enough. And God is so gracious, and we're thankful. We're thankful so much for being co-workers, co-working together with us in the ministry there in Łódź. Man, it's a really exciting time to be preaching the gospel in Poland right now. And thanks Dad for going over there in 95. Thanks Billy for letting him go over. Appreciate it. Anyways, open your Bibles please to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Sunday morning, dear old dad gets up and he says, Matthew 28. And I said, oh no. And then the sisters got up and they sang Matthew 28. I said, maybe I'm just in the spirit. That's it. So I got a message. I wrote down all of his main points. None of them repeated. So I think we should be good. Matthew 28. And we're going to look at, what was the first day? 18. Matthew 28:18. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. It's amazing how much time we spend admiring great things, right? Mike and I, we flew into New York City. Mike Veach, he put us up for a week, and we went 2 days into the city. And that's what we were doing. We were admiring great, great buildings. The tallest building, 1,770 feet tall. That's just crazy tall. You know, we went there, and of course, everybody says, when you go to New York, you know, don't look up. But how can you not look up whenever you go to New York City? You know, so we found ourselves walking through the city, going like this, and just admiring great, great works. We're crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, and there she is, you know, the Statue of Liberty. And she looks so small from the Brooklyn Bridge. You're like, what? I always thought that Steve has been in Poland, in Łódź, for 2 years. So kind of I got these from Steve. So pardon. But anyways, you know what I'm talking about, right? Anyways, we're crossing the bridge, and she looks so small, but then you take the ferry, and she gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you're like, what? You know, it's like really, really high. You know, we admire great, great things. I mean, we read books. We take the time to read books and to find out and to study about great people. Probably the greatest biography I ever read was biography of a Golda Meir. My life. Prime Minister of Israel during the 73 war. I mean, it was just, she's an incredible woman. She did great things for Israel. She did great things for the Middle East. I mean, she was a great speaker. Did you know, guys, that she never spoke, using a cheat card? She always spoke from the heart. The Prime Minister of Israel, with one exception. She spoke at the UN, and she was speaking in English, and so she had notes. This was a great woman in the history of our world, you know, and great things. I'm a basketball guy. I enjoy basketball. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sure do. It's no lie. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch great plays. I mean, to watch a guy shoot the ball from half court. Like it's nothing, and he makes it. Oh my goodness! Yeah, we spend time admiring great things. So I want to spend a little time admiring the greatest thing that has ever been, that ever will be, that ever can be, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Because something that makes him so great and something that makes him awesome is the fact that he uses absolutes. You know, we're taught nowadays that you can't use extremes and you can't say never. Never say never, right? You can't generalize. But notice what Christ says. He says something interesting. He makes a claim and he says, all power is given unto me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy glory they are created. You know, he makes this wonderful claim. He says, all power is given to me. He says, go to all nations. He's claiming jurisdiction over the entire world. He says, there's not a place in the world that you're not allowed to go. I know some stupid people will say you can't go to Korea, but I'm telling you can go to Korea. You can't go to China. You can go to China. They're telling you can't go to Poland. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can go to Poland and you can show them my power. You know, he's saying, go into all the world. Teach all nations. He says, I'm with you. Always. That's something marvelous. That's something outstanding. That's something great about him. Isaiah says, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. There's something about this power that God is saying, you know what? I want to show you guys something. It's almost as if he's rolling up his sleeve, and he wants to just show us how great and how strong his right arm is. He wants to show us how powerful he really is. So he says, come on, acknowledge, recognize, see, marvel at my might. And he is mighty. You know, you never see a weightlifter wearing baggy clothes. Notice that? They walk around in tights like little girls, and they wear wife beaters or muscle shirts, you know, so that you can admire and so you can recognize and acknowledge their strength. Well, I think God is kind of fascinated with just how strong he is. I think sometimes God says, wow, I really am that strong, you know. I think his might surprises even himself, you know. Can God be surprised? Yeah, sometimes God can be surprised. He marveled at someone's faith, you know. I think sometimes he just might marvel at his own strength. So anyways, the claim is that all power is given to him, all power in heaven. Now you think about that for a second. Television and movies would have us believe that there are many thousands of different realms and they're all fighting with each other and no one power is truly in control. That would be Marvel. But Christ says, all power in heaven is given to me. I have all power. Now, turn very quickly to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 10, he says, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know what God is interested in doing? He's interested in showing the powers and the principalities that be just how wise and powerful he is. He thought up of the church in order to persuade and convince and to show powers and principalities in the heavenlies just how strong and just how mighty he is. How strong and how mighty you think he really is? Consider this. All things are held together by the power of his word. You know that sun, when it goes around its circuit, that's going around by the power of the word of Christ. Now, where the word of a king is, there is power. And the moon, whenever it goes, the month, you know, we see it and it comes out. that's held together by the power of the word of Jesus Christ. You know, those stars that we look up at, and we were at Leslie Michael's house and they're out in the country, and man, I've never seen so many stars in my life. Those are held there, not by mistake, and not, especially not by some accident. They're held there in place so that we can admire them by the power of His word.
Amen.
You know, the powers in heaven are in the hands of Jesus Christ. And they do His bidding. They do what He says, and they don't do what He says they cannot do. You remember that next time you're facing temptation. Next time you come across that wicked one. Next time you come across that accuser of the brethren. You remember that he cannot touch you unless that all-powerful Savior of yours says it's okay. Remember that. He holds all things together by the power of His word. Not only in heaven, thank God, because we're here and now, right? I mean, it's great, it's fascinating, it's awesome that God is so powerful, He holds everything together. But what about now? You know, by saying that all power is given to me on earth, He says the laws don't apply to me. And we witnessed that. We saw that. I mean, every time we open the Gospels, we realize that the laws don't apply to Christ, right? He's walking through the fields. He takes some corn. He starts eating it. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. You know, who's going to accuse God? Who's going to accuse Jesus Christ of stealing? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, what kind of wave is going to rise up against him? And he's up on the mountain praying, and as soon as he starts walking, he walks across and he says, oh, come on, guys, be still. It was still in a moment. You know, he's Lord of every law. He's a lawgiver. He's law. He's Lord of anything that nature can throw at him. He's Lord. He's a supernatural man. No, he's just God Almighty. That's all it is. He's God Almighty, like he claimed. Anyways, by claiming all power is given unto me, he makes a fascinating claim. By saying what you shouldn't say, he claims that there's no exception. All power is given me. Brother and sister, that problem that is too complicated and too difficult for you to solve, you know, it's no problem for him because all power is given to him. You know, God had a serious problem. How can God justify the guilty and still be just? That's a difficult problem. You know what? All power is given to Jesus Christ. He figured it out. He figured it out. He says, okay, I'll become a lamb, and I'll spill my blood on the cross of Calvary for them. I'll be a substitute for them, and I'll justify them to the glory of His grace. He figured it out. You know that sin problem that burdens you, that besetting sin that is so heavy for you, that overweighs you, that makes you feel like it's going to weigh you down into hell itself. You know that sin? He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His strong arm, that mighty right hand that he's wanting us to see, that he's revealing to us, he says, I can handle that sin. I can overcome it. You know that problem, that valley that we're all afraid of going into, you know, death that for all of our lives we're afraid of? He went down into it, and he came up 3 days later. Amen. And he's like, all power is given unto me. Man. There's something else. I think it's somewhat of a challenge to you. I think he's saying, guys, all power is given unto me. Why don't you challenge his claim? Don't tempt God. That's not what I'm talking about. But why don't you see how far you can go? I know Generation X, I know we want to serve the Lord. I know there's a desire in our hearts to preach the Word of God, to preach the gospel. I know there's a certain fear in our hearts that says we will never preach like our fathers. We will never do what our fathers did. I know there's a certain complex in us that says, you know what? You just can't say it right enough. You can't explain it well enough. You just can't do it. I know, Generation X. But why don't you try that powerful hand? See what that powerful hand, that powerful right arm can do. Why don't you try it out? Why don't you see just how far you can go? I know you go out and you give and you try to support missions and you got these plans. Why don't you see how far more you can go? I know you take risks. Why don't you take leaps? Why don't you go further? Try him. See how. What did he say? He said, open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide. I know. We got our mouth open. I know we want to serve the Lord. Open your mouths up wider. Open them up and God will fill them. That's what he said. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Look down in verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Again, there's that word for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. There's that word again. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest, again, there it is, over all. All power is given unto me. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength, there it is again, unto all. You know, that's one of the things, again, I said it already, that makes Christ so great. Because he doesn't, brother, discriminate. He doesn't come only for men. He doesn't come only for the intellectual. He doesn't come for those that speak fair. He doesn't come for the rich. He comes for all. He came to save and seek sinners. We're all sinners. He came for all. He doesn't have a limited jurisdiction. He doesn't have limited power. He has all power. He doesn't have it for a short time or a long time or for periods of time. He has it for all eternity. I'm with you always. You know? Look at one more thing. I have some other things. I just want to make one more point. I want you to consider the greatness of his promise. It brings great, great comfort. He says, "I am with you. I am with you." In other words, that Almighty God, that powerful, strong right arm that's ready to save, says it's yours. It's yours. It's with you. Go out in the power of his might. He says, I am with you always. When you get out and you start preaching and you start trying to please the Lord, you try doing the work, you're going to find how frail and how weak you are, man. You're going to find out how many things you're lacking. And you're going to find out just how much you cannot do. But you know what? Whenever you go out there and you start preaching and you understand just how frail and just how weak and how limited you are, that's exactly when you can see how great and how powerful and how strong God is. Amen. He says, I'm with you always. Just a reminder, that powerful right arm that took Manasseh from the throne of his father David and allowed him to find himself in the dungeons in Babylon. That right arm lifted him up out of those dirty, deadly dungeons and set him again on high on his father's throne. That same right hand that gave power to the king of Babylon and made him the greatest king the world has ever known, smote him and made him like a wild beast. And then some years later, that powerful hand came back and revealed itself and magnified itself and said, look what I can do, and set that wicked king back on his throne. That powerful right hand took that man right over there from the Bajio, from Mexico, who had nothing by his own profession, and made him a prince, a prince, a prince of heaven. Amen. That same powerful right hand took you and took that sin off of your back and threw it behind his back. Think about that, guys. How far is that sin separated from you? If that all-powerful right hand threw your sin and your shame and your guilt and your condemnation behind his back, think about how separated it is from you. He says, I'm with you always. Not only in faithfulness, not in your strength, not in your wisdom, not in your riches, not in your abilities, but I'm with you always. There will be times that you'll be broken, for sure. You're broken in your work. You're broken in your marriage. But that's what's great about him. He's with you always. And because he's with you always, it's his power and it's his name and it's his word that receives the glory and the honor and the praise. And he is worthy. Amen. Amen.
And turn to number 96.